Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live on this Thursday afternoon. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam Black, the gang's all here. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Been better, John. How you doing?
Not good? You're in a bad mood? No good?
I'm okay.
Dealing with issues?
Yeah.
Anything you need to talk about?
Just the incompetence of the average fast food worker.
Oh, okay. It's just a bad lunch you get to eat?
Nope.
You leave?
I left. After I paid.
What? Just didn't want to be late, or?
Yeah. I could have just said, hey, I'll be there in segment two, but I've been...
Where were you at?
The McDonald's on at Walker Springs, the one connected to the Pilot close to my apartment.
Yeah. Seems
went
like
in,
a busy one.
Went in and I ordered two bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. I paid $4.37, and then I proceeded to, and I wasn't even running behind this morning. I proceeded to stand there for about, 15, 20 minutes, close to it.
Excuse me?
I left.
You sat there for how long?
15 to 20 minutes. I'd call it 17 minutes. I left at 11:49. With a middle finger in the air. I said, you people are ridiculous, with a couple of expletives.
Okay.
And I regret not throwing something behind the counter.
Okay.
I would have sacrificed a tennis shoe just to hit the dumbass who took my order in the face with it behind the counter. So I haven't had breakfast or lunch, but I could skip a meal or two. You know, I'll be okay. Wouldn't hurt me. Anyway, how's your morning?
Sure, we could send Brandon. It's not really morning anymore, but we could send Brandon or Rick.
How was your morning?
My morning was okay. What time do you consider morning over? Noon? Is that when morning's over?
By definition, yeah.
Yeah. I always consider morning over at 11, because that's like when people start eating lunch. It's kind of the way I look at it, at least. Maybe like even 10:30.
Is that your thing about how, with the years and the seasons, it's like really it's 3 years ago, but you say it's two seasons ago?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I guess.
And how you call rock, paper, scissors, which is a very well-known game that everyone calls rock, paper, scissors.
Not everyone.
Something different.
Now, was I in the minority? Was I in the minority? Yes, I was, but... the longer I've been alive, the more I realize that the common person is not very smart. So I'm okay being in the minority on this.
I agree with that, but there are also some things that are just, you know, they're just well documented.
Just completely ignore that it's the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships.
It's actually the Rochambeau Championship, I thought. It's not the Rochambeau Championship. So when I looked it up, Rock, Paper, Scissors is kind of dumb too, right?
When I looked it up, it said Rock, Paper, Scissors. When I looked it up, it was the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships. You play for $50,000.
I've always
and they
it
go on four.
Rochambeau.
And they go on four, which means they're doing the shoot.
And that's also dumb. Going on four is a whole other thing. You asked how my morning was. As soon as I came into the studio today, I was bombarded by everyone out there who thinks it's dumb that I think it's dumb you go on four. All throughout my life, I've gone on three. I don't know. Like in everything I do, I go on three. There's nothing that I go on four in.
You go on shoot.
I go on three. One, two, three.
Shoot.
No, that's four. I don't go on four.
No, you go on shoot.
Which is four.
Yeah, but still.
You don't go on the fourth beat. All you people who go on the fourth beat are a beat behind.
That's not how music works.
We're not playing music.
I'm just saying, it makes sense.
But it's about the
fourth
rhythm.
Beat. It's about the music. Yeah, it's the rhythm. It's getting everybody boom,
rock,
boom,
paper,
boom,
scissors,
boom.
Shoot.
It's on. It's like ready, set, go. You go on go. Ready, set, go. That's it right there. Not ready, set, go. Okay, now go. It's ready, set,
have you
go.
Never, have you never done 1, 2, 3, go?
No, I go on go.
So 1, 2, 3, go. You go
no,
on go.
No, it's ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
That's just that particular.
Red, yellow, green is how it works whenever you are sitting there.
Are you referring to a stoplight?
No, I mean, I know it doesn't go in that order, but I'm just saying like it races when they count you down.
They do two reds, though.
I mean, they're lit up at the same time, though.
What if there's a turn?
The reds are lit up at the same time.
They flash twice.
It doesn't go one red, two reds. It goes red, yellow, green.
It flashes red.
What if you're turning?
Red, yellow, green.
You got to come to a stop if you're turning. Many people think you don't have to. You got to come to a stop.
But it goes from green, yellow, red to green turn signal. So that would be the fourth one if you're turning.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying you go on the fourth one if you get a turn, if you're in the turning lane. Because as you're approaching the light, it's green. And then you see it turn yellow. And then, oh, no, it's red. I'm going to have to stop. But you got to turn. So your fourth action there is to turn.
I don't even know what you're talking about there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All I know is everyone who goes on four is a step behind. That's fine. Maybe this is why I won my CO2 car race in seventh grade shop class. Maybe everyone
cheated?
Was. No, because I went on green. When it lit green, I went. I anticipated the green, and I went when it turned green. Maybe that's why I won. I don't know. Maybe everyone else was waiting for the green and then another go for some reason.
Look, I don't disagree with you that the average American is a total idiot, but some things do just kind of become a thing once the majority accepts it as that. You know what I mean? It's like here in the South when you say, hey, grab me a Coke, and really all you've got in the fridge is Dr. Pepper. It just kind of became a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's related to that.
It's kind of the same thing, yeah. I mean, some things are just, you know.
If I ask you to get me a Coke and you bring back a Sprite without asking me if a Sprite's okay, I'm going to be annoyed. If you bring back a Pepsi when I ask for a Coke and you don't ask me if that's okay, I'm going to be annoyed. That's not something that's just accepted.
But a lot of people in the South, that's
no,
they've come
no,
to
that's,
accept it.
I think that's a misconception.
That, I mean, I don't no, think so. Not. That's how.
If I ask you for a Coke and you bring back something besides a Coke without asking me if it's okay, I'm going to tell you no, I don't want that.
But like,
it's a thing people say in the South, though.
I don't think it is. I think that's an overstated thing that people think is true. That's not.
I have plenty of friends that when I'm like, hey, can you get me a Coke while you're out? They'll get me a Dr. Pepper because they know that's my favorite drink.
Well, then you and your friends are dumb.
And then they just come back and
you need
like,
to work on your communication skills.
They're like, here's your drink. And I'm like, and I drink. I'm like, oh, it's Dr. Pepper. Thank you.
You know, not everyone who disagrees with your opinions is dumb.
I think if you're asking for a Coke and someone brings you back a Dr. Pepper, you need to work on your communication skills.
It's a thing that became accepted in the South. I don't do it.
You don't do it?
I ask for
so
what
you're
I
arguing
want.
About something you don't even do?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you do it?
I know that a lot of people do
it. Why don't you do it?
Because to me it makes more sense to say, hey, bring me a Dr. Pepper if I want a Dr. Pepper.
Right.
But I recognize
that. So you agree with me, you just
want
to argue with me.
I'm just trying to stand up for those who call it a Coke.
If you call a Sprite a Coke, I'm going to question your intelligence.
You're going to go on the internet and say you're a smooth brain. That's
yes.
what you're going
to
call
it. If you refer to a Sprite as a Coke, I'm going to call you a smooth brain.
That's your intellectual term to refer
yes.
to someone else as a smooth brain.
I stand by that. If you ask for a Coke and you accept a Sprite and you think that's the same thing, yes, smooth
what
brain.
What if you ask for 2 bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits and you just get a blank stare?
I'm not going to call you a smooth brain. I think I would have gotten the food. I think I would have been a little bit more pushy.
Oh, I was pushy. I'll assure you I was pushy.
At least when I got my
I
money back.
At least 3 times.
What was their excuse for it for you?
Well, the drive-thru is really busy and there's 4 customers ahead of you. Like it's not that complicated. Just throw some bacon and the folded egg. Throw it together.
Is that on the all-day menu, I assume?
Yes, it is. It should be quickly preparable.
Is there anything to you ordering that at 11:30 that maybe slowed them down? They didn't have them on deck, maybe?
Maybe they're stupid.
Is that what they were saying?
Maybe they were stupid.
Perhaps.
Maybe they, I don't know. You would think with it being on the all-day menu, perhaps they had made it before at 11:30.
Well, I wouldn't think they would leave them sitting there all day, though. I don't know how many people are coming in to order bacon, egg, and cheeses at 11:30.
I think a lot of people. That's why they do the all-day breakfast.
Well, I think they do that so that people work midnights when they get off at like 8 o'clock that maybe don't want to eat a heavy dinner can just have a breakfast sandwich. I think that kind of helps, too. People who work different shifts kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and just people who wake up late in general.
I kind of think the all-day menu is really just built for weekends, honestly. They just went ahead and said, let's just do it all week. That's my personal theory on it. Because, you know, like on the weekends, on Saturday, you could roll in at 11:30 and, you know, that's kind of expected. Hey, I want a breakfast sandwich. Had a long night.
I don't see how Jose takes my order at, you know, 11:31 a.m. and then it's 11:49 a.m. and I still don't have my order.
No, that's bad.
It's not a complicated order.
No. I'm not.
And his name actually was Jose, by the way.
Assumed it was.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah. I wasn't going to single it out because I assumed you wouldn't do that.
That was his name. I saw it on his tag.
Yeah. Did you not ask for your money back? You just said, screw it. No. You were that mad. You were just like, I'm out of here.
No, because it was 11:49. I had waited 18 minutes for the damn breakfast sandwiches. It would have taken them at least another 10 to get me my money back.
I'm not going to judge because I told you last week when I was sitting at Zaxby's. I sat in that line from 30 to 49 and was thinking I was going to miss the show beginning as well. So I'm not here to cast stones. It happens.
I paid with a debit card. There's no telling how long it would have taken them to have gotten me my money back.
Yeah.
I'd probably still be there.
Would you be angry if you knew that right now Jose was sitting down eating your bacon, egg, and cheese?
That's exactly what's happening.
He's like, Cody left.
I can tell you from years of having people leave because it's too long.
Uh-huh. You just sit down and eat
their
food?
That is our food now.
He probably needs them.
That's crew snacks.
Crew snacks.
Maybe if you tell me Jose's taking them home to his kid who's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you worked in the restaurant industry, Ben, when someone ordered a Coke, did you just bring them back a Sprite?
No.
Okay, you didn't? You gave them a Coca-Cola?
That's different.
Oh, is it?
You're in the service industry.
Oh, so it's different. Okay.
You have to listen to what they want when they specifically.
When they ordered a Coke, you gave them a Coke. You didn't just slide in a mystery soda and say, here you go.
At first I would ask, like, you want a Coca-Cola? And they'd be like, they'd look at me like I was an idiot.
Yeah. That seems like a proper response from them.
But I would just be like, sorry. Like, whenever I say Coke, like I basically just mean any general soda. And they're just like, oh, okay, I get that. But I think they're just probably being polite.
As they drove away, they're like, oh, this kid's a moron.
Look,
that's more in reference of like when I was serving tables.
Mm-hmm.
At like a drive-thru place.
Did they tip you more or less for you being a little simple,
a little behind.
Typically more, honestly.
That's good. This kid needs it.
This kid, Sharon, yeah. Like,
Sharon, I think he's maybe a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
Okay, makes sense.
Let's help him out a bit.
I'd say I was a pretty good server. I usually got a little more than 20%.
I'm still confused about the whole people not going on three.
The cheese fell off his
rock,
cracker.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ago.
If we want to argue about paper, rock, scissors, that's fine.
Rock,
I'll listen to the idea of shooting there, even though I think it's stupid.
Scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I'm sorry, I go in alphabetical order. That's the way I do things.
Why do
I
you call it makes paper, rock, scissors?
Because it's alphabetically correct.
Alphabetically correct?
Yeah, like alphabetical order.
It doesn't roll as well.
Yeah, I think it rolls better.
Why does that matter? Why does the alphabet matter?
Because, I mean, it's what makes sense to me.
Well, when we
and it's what sounds better.
Well, when we come in to do the show, it's always John, Cody, and Ben. It's not Ben.
Well, I go in
Cody,
order there.
John.
Do you have a clock maybe that has paper and rock on it and scissors? That way I could go in clockwise? Do you have that for me maybe?
I mean, I could make you one.
Because if not, that's why I go in that order. I just go clockwise. Just,
okay.
It's probably like importance as well.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Cam's animal facts were pretty good yesterday.
I'm just saying, if you see like a law firm, you know, and it's like, I don't know, Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell or whoever, which they broke up, I guess, but that's not an alphabet.
They went out. They went the reverse alphabetic order.
Is that what they were going for?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm just saying.
Like, rock, paper, scissors has no rhyme or rhythm. It's not even reverse alphabetic order.
I mean, I think you can list three things without it having to be an alphabetical order. That's all I'm saying.
I just think it sounds better, too. I don't know.
You think Burrell, Elrod, and Ogle would have sounded better?
No. I don't. Maybe that's why they went with plus, I mean, there might have been an order of who was signed on to the company at what time. I don't know their backstory. You know, like maybe one guy was there first, Ogle, and they brought on
Elrod and Burrell.
Yeah, like, I mean,
if you were going to McDonald's to get ghosted, would you rather get ghosted for a bacon, cheese, and egg or a bacon, egg, and cheese? I guess you got to throw the and in there, right?
I wouldn't have got ghosted.
An and bacon cheese egg?
I wouldn't have got ghosted.
I tried to order two and bacon cheese eggs this morning.
I would have gotten my food.
I don't think you would have.
I would have.
I don't think you would have.
I would have.
They were pretty lost.
Now, would I have gone
if
into...
If you had gone back there and made it, you might have.
Now, would I have gone to a McDonald's at a Pilot at 11:30? That's a different question. Would I have gotten my food there? Would
it's
I picked
a half some, and half.
Or would I have picked somewhere a little bit better to go? That place is a logistical nightmare.
It's a half and
That
half.
Place is a logistical nightmare. That's your first problem going there.
It's not that hard. They got a drive-thru that wraps around the back.
Yeah, getting into the drive-thru is tough.
Not really.
Yes, it is. That drive.
Lived there for 6 years, so maybe I'm used to it.
I mean,
all you got to do is turn in and then turn
in. Which side do you come in from? Up the road that goes past Walmart? Because it's really tough to get to the drive-thru there. Yeah. If there's cars, what if there's a car line? Then how do you do it? You go all the way around?
Well, you'd have to circle the building.
Is that not difficult? You don't think that's difficult?
Well, you don't have to do that. You could take the second entrance and then pull in line.
And then, weave in between the gas station, the gas pumps?
Mm-hmm.
You don't find that difficult? People jumping out from their trucks, very narrow areas to get into?
Not really. I'm a rough brain.
No, it's smooth.
No, it's difficult for the smooth brains.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I was saying I'm a rough brain,
mm-hmm.
So I don't have any trouble. You just kind of pay attention to the cars, and then you drive through.
Yeah.
Simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an obstacle.
True. That's why businesses all throughout just don't even make lanes, or it's like, hey, just drive in between people. You'll figure it out.
I mean, I would.
Mm-hmm. It's a logistical nightmare.
It's really not. It's not that complicated.
There's a reason the drive-thru was so backed up, wasn't there?
They had one of the lanes closed.
Because it was...
I don't understand the point of.
I mean, logistical nightmare and all.
It was this morning.
Okay.
Usually
I'll take the point for today.
Usually it's not.
Because they were so backed up, they couldn't get your food in 19 minutes. So, obviously, things weren't running very smoothly there today.
It's not really a logistical problem. It's just more of a... Yeah, maybe they might have been short-staffed. I don't know. Still no excuse to make a guy wait 18 minutes for two bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits.
Should have said, can I just get one? Can you get me one quicker? If you need to go get the other one ready, it's fine. Just give me one.
No.
Okay. Contentious first segment. I'm mad over the 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm mad over the Coke. You're mad over your food.
I'm just hungry.
I told you to start fixing eggs at your apartment. You would have eaten.
I have the last few days.
Okay.
I'm out of eggs.
Understandable. If only you lived right next to Walmart. It's open 24 hours. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. British Open going on right now. Not going to lie, pretty shocked at how it shook out this morning for Rory McIlroy. I thought with it being in Northern Ireland, he would come out and play really well and maybe win. He did not come out and play well, and he is definitely not going to win. He came out and shot a 79 this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awful.
I don't know if it was the pressures that got to him. Of being like, hey, you know, I'm back in Ireland. I need to do this. I don't know if that got to him or what, but he came out and quadruple bogeyed the first hole, which, you know, really bad start to the day, and then triple bogeyed the 18th hole.
Man, you can't even come back from that.
No, he's done, and I would say he'll miss the cut. So, I mean, if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, the other 16 holes only shot one over. Not terrible. Would have been sort of kind of still in contention, but the other two holes I shot 7 over on. So that's going to be impossible to come back from.
So he's 8 over 79.
Yeah, no, it's a wrap for him.
Man, he would have to birdie every hole to come back from this.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen.
Probably not.
No, so I mean, he's done. He right now in the leaderboard, on top of the leaderboard, Shane Lowry's through his round at 4 under. And then, of course, the killer, Brooks Koepka. All he does is dominate majors. or stay at the top of the leaderboard in majors. He is tied for first through 15 holes at 4 under. Alex Noren, Webb Simpson, Sergio, Tommy Fleetwood, 3 under. As we kind of get off and running with the first round today, a lot of players already in the clubhouse over with. Tiger Woods doing his best Rory McIlroy impression. He is 4 over through 7 holes. He will find himself in a similar situation.
Tiger's 4 over?
Yeah, probably not going to make the cut.
Through 7 holes?
Through 7 holes.
Nah, he's got time to come back. He can salvage that.
Yeah, no, he can. You're right. Maybe I shouldn't say he's going to miss the cut. He could, you know, as long as he can maybe finish the round at 2 over, he'll have a chance easily to make the cut line. So, yeah, maybe you're right, but just a bad start for him, I guess.
Yeah, a couple birdies. He's right back in it. What is Koepka?
4 under.
Oh, he would be.
Top of the leaderboard.
Getting real tired of that guy.
He's a winner. I kind of respected what he said. He was basically asked why he's not good at anything other than the majors. He's like, I don't practice for anything else. All the other tournaments, I just go out and play. I don't really practice for those. I kind of respect it. It makes sense now. He's like, I don't. But I mean, that I found myself thinking about that when it came to tennis, right? Because I really liked watching Wimbledon, and then I was like, man, why don't I ever watch tennis other times? It's like, I think it's the same reason I don't watch any other golf tournaments. Is that they have kind of picked which four matter, right?
The French Open, the Australian Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open.
Right. That's how it is in tennis. And in golf, they've made their decision on which four matter there. And then throw in the FedEx. Outside of that, like they pretty much said, these other ones don't really matter. We don't really care. So I think that's why. I think it hurts the sport overall, at least from casuals like me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really four big events a year, I guess. Trying to think of other sports that are like that, but they're really not. I mean, football, basketball, they matter every week.
Yeah. I mean, college football, the ball wins, sure, like some of those don't matter, but you still watch because a loss is so vital to the overall standings, right?
Yeah.
In golf, it's not like they're really crowning the guy who had the best year. Does he get anything special? The FedEx Cup doesn't take everything into account, right? And even if it does, we don't celebrate that guy. He just gets a big check.
The guy who finishes at the top at the end of the year?
Yeah. Of the FedEx standings. I don't know if that takes every term into account or not. But either way, like I said, you just get a nice little check. But it's not like we celebrate you and you get to count yourself as a super major winner or anything like that that goes towards the legacy of people at the end of their careers.
Yeah, really, it's just the majors. That's what matters.
So that's going on right now. Tennessee football. I don't know if it's just clickbait season time, hot take season time. Like, I mean, we're officially here in college football time, right? Now that media days have come, we'll start getting these articles daily about college football, right? Ranking season's kind of over with. The list season of just throwing random lists together, that'll slow down. We'll actually get to some more stuff closer to the field.
Yeah, fall camp will be coming up here any minute. We'll have another period. Next week might be kind of slow. It'll just be talking about the season, but then fall camp will get started, and you'll see a lot of reports coming out there.
We had a writer make a pretty big proclamation about Tennessee. We'll talk about that next. The FedEx Cup. Okay, so the first part of the season, the regular season, runs from October through August. PGA Tour players earn points in each event they play. You can make the playoffs, and then you can go and win that at the end. So it does take something into account, but like I said, we don't necessarily celebrate it the same way as majors. At least they're trying to do something. You know, they do try to do something to make people care about these non-major tournaments, but still not enough for me. I still just kind of tune in for the majors. I wonder how golf feels about Brooks Koepka admitting that. Yeah. Kind of the same way I am, too. We'll talk Tennessee football next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. back on the program. It's, I guess, think piece season time when it comes to college football. Coming out of SEC Media Days, we had a national college football writer from Bleacher Report come out and say that, quote, Tennessee is never going to be elite again.
Who said this?
Matt Hayes, college football. Matt Hayes, and look, I mean, I know you used to do it, but you matured out of it. I feel like if you put the sport you cover in your handle, you're either A, looking for attention, or B, trying to overcompensate for something.
Small penis, usually.
Matt Hayes, CFB, to let you know, hey, guys, I'm a college football expert, writes his headline on Bleacher Report, once a proud SEC heavyweight, Tennessee will never be elite again. And that's his take. I mean, I'm sure he has reasons for it. I don't really feel obligated to go click it and read them. Just the title, when I tell you that Tennessee will never be elite again, it makes you feel how?
It makes me feel like he's looking at us in a side-by-side comparison with Nebraska. Whereas in the 90s, you could bring guys in easier to places like Nebraska and Tennessee. But to me, Tennessee has way more of a opportunity to get elite talent than Nebraska does. Tennessee is still very, very close to Atlanta. I mean, we border Georgia, and Georgia is the main hotbed in recruiting right now. It's not deeper probably than Florida or Texas yet, but it surpassed California in terms of the level of athlete and the number of athletes that are there. So that borders us. We border the Carolinas. Nashville is growing rapidly. If we can get a stronghold on Nashville, get a guy or two out of Memphis occasionally, have a real footprint in Atlanta and that area in Georgia and the Carolinas, we can be elite again.
What do you consider elite? Well, let's start there, because to me, when you say never be elite again, I think the most important thing is to kind of think about, well, what does it take to be elite? Because we've had this, I don't want to say a similar question, but I feel like we asked, like, when will you consider Tennessee back? I feel like that's kind of related to, like, being elite again. Will Tennessee ever be elite again? Well, what is it going to take to do that? If you look at just Clemson and Alabama as elite, okay, like,
that's elite.
Is that the cutoff? Like, is Oklahoma elite? Like,
I think Oklahoma's elite. Ohio State's elite.
Let's start there. Like, how many programs do you consider elite right now? I think to truly be elite, it has to be over, what, a five-year run? Three-year run? Four-year run? Like, what are we thinking?
I think what it is expecting double-digit wins every year.
That's what's considered elite. And obviously, you throw out the group five teams that expect double digit wins. You got to do it in a big boy school.
Of course. I think expecting double digit wins every year. Now, you might not have a great year. I think a 9-win season not being a great year is the definition of an elite program. If Oklahoma comes out and goes 9-3 this year, they will look at that as not a great season.
Okay.
If they're 10-2, that's an average season for them.
So what about on a season-by-season basis, though? Because I feel like if Texas goes 9-3 this year, they're going to be upset, whereas they were happy about it last year. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. But they were building.
Right. I mean, I know that's what I'm asking. Like, I mean, because, I mean, Texas, I don't know, I don't consider them elite right now, but they're not going to be happy with 9 wins this year.
An elite program wins, like, to me, between 9 and 12 regular season games a year, and 9 is on the low end. I mean, I think that's how I would look at it. And I think that can be defined across all elite programs. Although, maybe not, because if Alabama wins 12 this year, they'll be disappointed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they go 12-2 and lose the national championship, they'll be disappointed. But Alabama and Clemson are on – they're like super elite. I'd be fine with being like Oklahoma or Ohio State. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I feel like this Matt Hayes guy, this Hayes guy, he probably said something about geography, if I had to guess, and the recruiting landscape. If I had to guess. I haven't even read what he wrote. But if Clemson can be elite, Tennessee can be elite. Because we're basically in the exact same geographical area as Clemson.
Starts off talking about how basically talked about Jeremy Pruitt. A lot of his time at the podium was spent talking about academics. We had 53 guys in the spring semester who had a 3.0 GPA or better, Pruitt declared. Says that's kind of the first sign of acknowledging you're never going to be elite again. Which, I mean, it is a bad sign when your coach talks about academics. But obviously we know here in Knoxville, like, there wasn't really any on-the-field stuff you could celebrate, correct? I mean, you can't just come out and say, oh, we beat Kentucky's ass. Everyone's going to be like, well, that's not really anything to brag about. Auburn, beat them. We had two top 20 wins last year. We're back. Everyone's going to look and say, yeah, you went 5-7. So, like, I understand from Jeremy Pruitt's perspective, it's not like he could come out and brag about anything other than academic success. We didn't really have any on-the-field success last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it is funny. Like, a school like Tennessee is going to go up there and basically try to promote their the student part of student-athlete like their Vanderbilt. I do understand the criticism of that from someone who's just kind of looking at a surface level of these programs. But here in Knoxville, we obviously know, what are you going to brag about?
I think a lot of programs probably mention that, though. Did Pruitt spend too much time talking about it?
I think so.
Did he?
I think he. I saw a lot of headlines kind of about that.
Yeah. I think a lot of coaches spend time talking about it. Maybe not. You don't want to spend too much time on it, though.
Let's see. Here's the John Gruden. The John Gruden barb.
What does that have to do with anything?
I mean, it's no. These are his words. It's no wonder the dream scenario in every coaching search since Fulmer was fired in 2008 begins with former Vols graduate assistant John Gruden, ends with settling for bizarre choices that have contributed to the inevitable decline to mediocrity. The Tennessee job has become a stepping stone or a tombstone.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
The lunacy hit an all-time high at the end of 2017, which led to basically Tennessee overpaying a career assistant $4 million a year to mop up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee had Dan Mullen on the hook and waited too long to make the hire. That allowed Florida to swoop in. Talks about leaving Mike Leach at the altar. Let's see. I mean, groomers again.
I mean, there's really nothing I can disagree with so far.
I mean, I don't – but, yeah, but, like, none of that is projecting the success moving forward. Like,
no,
I mean
– those are all things that happened in
the
past.
I mean, did Tennessee fumble the coaching search? Yeah. Where were you at in 2017, bro? Like, I think we all know that.
Yeah. I think most of us would rather have – like, if we could have just picked at the time, we'd much rather have Dan Mullen or Mike Leach.
Dan Mullen, I would say yes. I still wonder how Mike Leach would have ultimately been received if he'd been hired. I think you'd have had a lot of people who really loved him and others with questions. But either way, whatever.
Be a weird fit in the SEC.
Hiring Jeremy Pruitt in 2017 was a move that you can either criticize or wait and see what happens. I don't think anyone was calling it a home run at the time, right? I mean, it was a coordinator that you don't know is going to be any good. I understand that. Again, I don't know what 2017's coaching search has to do with Tennessee's chances of being elite moving forward. He says it's not going to get any better because Nick Saban and Alabama aren't going anywhere. Ed Orgeron is recruiting as well as anyone in the league, and Kirby Smart is locking down Georgia, and Florida has Mullen. Those same errors Fulmer cultivated two decades ago when Alabama, LSU, and Georgia were underachieving are long out of reach now and have been so for more than a decade. The days of Tennessee rolling through the SEC are long gone. The game has changed, and Tennessee hasn't done Steve Spurrier says this, the game has changed and Tennessee doesn't quite have the advantages it did with facilities and recruiting. It's a lot like Nebraska now. Can they get it back? Shoot, there's a lot more to it now.
It's not like Nebraska, though. Nebraska is a Midwestern landlocked state with no talent around it.
That's your boy Steve Spurrier saying it.
He's wrong. He's just wrong.
I mean, I agree, too. Like, I mean, comparing it to Nebraska is pretty lazy.
No, and Nebraska, I would say they probably have a better coach than us right now. I mean, Scott Frost is a good coach.
He's got a better track record for sure.
But you're not getting talent in that area. The states that border you realize the states that border Nebraska. Kansas, Iowa, South Dakota. I mean, there's no players up there. I don't know why we would get compared to Nebraska, other than the fact that we were both elite in the 90s.
The writer finishes this out by saying the Vols are 29th in the composite rankings for the 2020 class and sit behind 10 other SEC schools. I mean, okay, so I mean recruiting in July. So his reasons are we fumbled the coaching search of 2017, never mind that we fired everyone pretty much associated with that. Right? I mean, everyone's pretty much gone now. Curry and Beverly Davenport are both gone.
They're all out. Root and stem, they were ripped out.
Pretty much cleaned house. You got Philip Fulmer in, who, if anybody, look, and you can argue about whether or not you think, you know, Philip Fulmer's a really good AD or not. I can tell you that you can't argue that he wants football to be good again, right? I mean, and sometimes that's half the battle, is realizing that football is more important than other schools, or excuse me, other sports, when it comes to the health of your program.
It's his number one priority. I don't know if he's the guy that can do it, that can bring it back, but it's his number one priority.
And that's half the battle sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know that's what he's working toward.
So, I mean, whenever you actually read it, it's definitely 100% just a lazy clickbait article. And it's funny because this same guy has tweets from 2013 about how much he loves Butch Jones and how Butch Jones is great and going to win at Tennessee. So maybe he's just sad things didn't work out here.
Yeah, the thing is with the recruiting, to me, that's what it's all based around. It's not all this other stuff he mentions is just it's just noise.
Once, and we'll say it again. Butch Jones has won everywhere. He'll win at Tennessee. Terrific coach.
Everything he says in that article is noise besides two things, recruiting and coaching. And I think we've got one of the best coaching staffs in the country. I don't think we're recruiting at a high enough level yet to be back, but it's going to take success on the field. We're going to have to succeed on the field this year to have those top 10, top 5 classes. But listen, if Clemson can do it, Tennessee can do it.
Butch Jones at the podium, sharp guy, gets it. We'll win big at Tennessee. I can do without Matt Hayes talking about Tennessee. But I do like, you know, I do think the conversation about what it is to be elite matters. Because, look, I mean, do I think that Tennessee is going to be able to run through the SEC again like the 90s? I really don't. I do think there are too many good programs. So if you're just saying that to be elite you have to dominate the SEC, okay, maybe not. If you say you just have to be a title contender once every 2 or 3 years, I think Tennessee can get back to that. I don't think that's saying anything too outrageous, outlandish. Especially when Tennessee is exploding when it comes to in-state talent, right? You said lock down Nashville. I don't even think you have to lock down Nashville. I just think you have to get 2 or 3 guys from there every year, 3 or 4 guys, right? Like get some of the top-rated in-state players every year.
Yeah. And then Alabama will get a couple of them, you know.
And LSU is always going to get a couple of them. Like, I mean, you don't even have to lock it down. Just get your fair share. Get your fair share from Georgia. Go to North Carolina every now and then and get someone like Corvarius Crouch. If you have to go to the West Coast to get a couple guys, that's fine. Do that too. Like that was Tennessee's recipe in the 90s, and they didn't even have the in-state recruiting then. At least, you know, not to the same level they do now.
Yeah, it can be done. I don't buy that recruiting. You can recruit like hell here. If you're good, you got to have some on-field success this year. And if that happens, if you can win 8 games this year, you'll keep building. There's no reason you can't land top 5, top 10 classes here. There's really no excuse at all. If you've got the right staff, the right recruiters, the right coaches, you can do it. There's nothing holding us back, like geographically or anything like that. I really don't think there is.
No. And I mean, you have, granted, your facilities aren't far and above better than everyone in the SECs anymore, but they're still.
They're right there.
Right, but I mean the gap's been closed, though. Like, I mean, the SEC network money has even the playing field throughout the SEC. That was something that, you know, people didn't really realize the ramifications of the SEC network and how it was going to make the Mississippis and Mississippi states and everything kind of get closer in facilities and money and things like that. Like, every SEC program has money now. So are ours far and away better than everybody's anymore? No, they're not.
Well, I've been pushing for that renovation of the South Side.
I don't know if that's going to get us back either, but I mean, fine, it won't help. Throw some money at that.
We got old box fans hanging out of the wall. We got old air conditioning units. You can look up in the dusty windows and see old plants from the 60s that are somehow still growing.
I don't think that really matters with recruiting. They probably don't take the recruits to
me.
They don't take the recruits to the south end zone.
You better take them to gate 21 and not that end if you want to land them.
I would imagine they are.
We need another Jumbotron. I'm just saying, if this guy's going to come in with facilities there, okay, there's a couple things we could do. But still yet, it comes down to recruiting and coaching. It's players and coaches. That's all it is.
Twitter writes in, says he loves him from Frost, but we can't say he has a better track record when he has never coached in the playoffs or a championship game. I mean, as a head coach, Jeremy Pruitt's never done that. Would be my rebuttal. Like,
I mean, Frost has proven more than Pruitt has.
As a head coach, like, I think that – was that a hot take to say that Frost has a better track record than Pruitt? Like,
no.
Frost won a national title at UCF. Many forget.
No, he didn't. But he did take a team from 0-12 to 6-6 to 12-0 in 2 years. So
13-0.
14-0, I believe.
And they won the conference game, right? They won the conference championship and the
okay.
And over Auburn, who beat Alabama, who won the national title.
I was just thinking regular season.
But anyway, I mean, they ran through an undefeated regular season. And look, I know, like, you know, the ACC or the AAC, excuse me, all that.
The Power Six.
Some would say it's better than the Pac-12 these days.
It probably is.
But as a head coach, Jimmy Pruitt's 5-7. I'm not going to give him credit for being a coordinator when it comes to evaluating him as a head coach against other head coaches.
Right. I mean,
we're not just talking about Jeremy Pruitt's defense. Like, if we're talking about Jeremy Pruitt on the defensive side of the ball, I would say yes, I will take his defensive coordinator track record into account. But if we're talking about head coaches, no, I'm not. He went 5-7. He's a 5-7 head coach until this year, and hopefully, pray he's not 5-7 this year.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't judge a guy just based on. I mean, yeah, he's one of the best defensive minds in football, it would seem, based on what he's done as a coordinator. But, hey, so was John Chavis. And John Chavis never became a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, there's –
Bud Foster. Great defensive mind, never became a head coach. So just being the great defensive mind doesn't necessarily translate to being a great head
coach. It doesn't always work with osmosis. Just being there around championship-level teams doesn't make you a championship-level coach. Like – not saying Pruitt can't get there, obviously. I'm just saying so far we've seen 1 year he went 5-7. I liked a lot of the things he did last year. I got questions, though. I mean, obviously, you go 5-7, you definitely have questions.
Are we going to start onside kicking like every time? Or
I like the onside kicks.
I do, too.
I just feel like
they were a little – they were a surprise at first, and then they were kind of like teams were had to be prepared for
them. I feel like we should have recovered every one of them.
We had that one against Bama. You remember when we thought we might get into the game there early on, real early?
There's one against Florida, too, right, that you should have recovered
mm-hmm.
after you had scored to kind of try to get back in that game? The one against Auburn was perfect. Like, I loved the kind of the squib onside kick after they'd gotten a personal foul penalty. Like, I think he understands the game. I know he would never talk to you about analytics, but I think he's got a good feel for the game. I'm not going to say he's better than Scott Frost, especially when it comes to track record. Book's still out on Pruitt. JT talks about what being elite means. He says being elite would mean being a playoff title contender every year. There's no cycle down for the elite, basically. Every year you sit there. So, I mean, this year, how many teams do you think can make the playoff?
2, 3, 4.
I mean, can you say the teams?
5, 6. Okay.
That would probably work
Clemson,
better.
Clemson.
I agree.
That's it in the ACC.
I'm surprised you didn't start with Alabama. I feel like you're overcompensating here. Alabama, number two.
Georgia in the SEC. Probably Alabama.
Yeah.
Oklahoma or Texas. Ohio State or Michigan. That's it.
That's pretty much it, right?
I guess you could throw in stupid Notre Dame, but
I think Notre Dame, I mean, I'll give Notre Dame credit. They probably belong in the elite conversation.
I don't think so.
They belong in the conversation. I'm not saying that I'm 100% convinced they're elite, but I'm saying I will put them as one of the eight teams that think they can make the playoffs this year and that probably think that almost every year. Right? I mean, haven't they bounced back nicely? I mean, 10-3 and 12-1 the last 2 years? Now, granted, before that, 4-8, 10-3, 8-5, 9-4, so we'll see how this goes the next couple of years. But I think coming off of a 12-1 season, they feel like they are one of the elite this year. So eight teams. Obviously, Texas didn't feel like they were making the playoff last year. Michigan and everyone else, though, probably did, right? The other seven teams probably thought the same last year, right?
Yeah, and especially with no Urban Meyer, I mean, it might be time for Michigan to finally break down the door for Harbaugh to finally beat Ohio State.
Yeah, especially when you see Harbaugh throwing shots at Meyer on a podcast for really no reason.
What did he say?
Just talking about how, I mean, I guess he was asked about Urban Meyer, and he just came out and was like, Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been. It's kind of unnecessarily just taking shots at Meyer, who's no longer there.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying, like, is it not a little weird that Harbaugh's now getting pretty testy after Urban's gone and can't beat him up anymore?
That's what I was going to say, like, you can't really talk the crap if you're getting beat every year.
But he's gone now, so now he could talk. Like, yeah, I mean, we would have beaten him, but all that damn controversy they had.
And it's going to be hilarious when Ryan Day beats the hell out of him.
Really distracted our team.
Michigan's got a lot coming back this year, though. They're the hot, trendy pick to get to the playoff out of the Big Ten.
I feel like they are every year, and then they collapse.
Well, I mean, usually it's Ohio State, though. And I don't know, you know, first-year coach, I might take Michigan.
Win your division, compete for a conference championship, do that consistently in a Power 5 conference. That's what it means to be elite. So just win.
Winning helps.
Poor says that he thinks multiple appearances in the college football playoff.
Oh.
Like so far, like, I mean, and look, I mean.
That would just mean like Alabama and Clemson. Basically.
And Oklahoma and Ohio State. And, I mean, look, those are the four elite programs. Like, if we really get down to it, I feel like there is a drop-off right after everyone else, right? And, I mean, even – I mean, we probably have to admit Georgia's there. Georgia's always going to be there. Or for the next couple of years, I would anticipate Georgia being in the conversation every year. As long as they're recruiting as well as they are, they're going to be there in the conversation. So, I mean, really, like, even throwing Michigan in there, Cody, and Texas, and really, honestly, Notre Dame, like, I mean, I wouldn't even really call them elite.
Well, just based on what it's been the last few years, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I know you were answering that in terms of who could win the title, or who could make the playoff this year.
Yeah, it's Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama.
But I do think it has to be kind of a multi-year thing to really reach this status, so maybe.
Throw Georgia out, too. I mean, if we're looking at, like, 5 years, you got to throw Georgia out.
Yeah, but I think for what they've done the last 2 years and them coming in where they're at this year, like I consider them to be right there in that top tier.
I mean, they're going to be right at the edge of the playoff or in the playoff.
I mean, they should have made the playoff last year.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit for just coming close against Alabama, but I mean, you go toe-to-toe with Alabama twice and I got to call you elite.
I'll tell you one of my football season revolutions that I want to try to uphold this season. When the committee starts talking about the best teams, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear them talking about the best teams because they don't put the best teams in. If they put the best teams in, they would have put Georgia in over Notre Dame last year. That's just a fact. Georgia was better than Notre Dame. I'm tired of them telling us it's about the four best teams.
Cody can't even get over Kirby Smart leaving Alabama.
It's about the four most deserving teams.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what
I think it should be the four most deserving teams, too. Like, I don't think you should be smacked by LSU and then claim that you should get in just because you got the most stars on your roster and you played a close game.
But we all know in a semifinal, Georgia would have smacked Notre Dame.
That's fine. I don't know if Notre Dame would have gone to LSU and gotten smacked the way they did.
Probably on that day. LSU was.
Maybe.
They were tough that day.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Coach O gets those boys ready.
Maybe. Again, I don't think it should be the best teams. I think it should be the most deserving teams.
I just don't want them to tell us it's all about the four best teams.
They're not very consistent with what they tell us.
They're lying.
I agree.
They're lying about that.
Little Buddy says if you've won a title in the last 21 years, you're elite.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Just made it.
I disagree with that.
Last 21 years, nailed it. God, I'm glad he didn't stop at 20. Really hope next year it goes to 22. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.